Hello, and welcome to the Ten Commandments, an 8-week conversation about some of the most famous words from Scripture. Over the course of this series, we will be talking about what the Ten Commandments meant in their time and how they relate to us today. Tasha and I will be doing this in conversation with Ken Peavyhouse, a member here at First Presbyterian Church and a regular attender of Sunday school for many, many years. So stick around and join us. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Ten Commandments. We're a bit delayed, aren't we, Ken?
We are delayed. You had a problem.
I had a problem, and we had some bad weather, and so that slowed us down. For those who don't know, Ken, we have synced this class to Sunday school. So we have Sunday school here in person in the church on Sunday. Then you and I record our Ten Commandments. We skipped a Sunday because of the cold weather, and so we got off track. So we're sorry to have left you all hanging for a week. I'm sure everybody was wondering, what's commandment number three, Ken? How will we ever move forward until this podcast drops?
I know they've been waiting with bated breath.
Bated breath. So we're ready, I think.
We're going to give it a shot.
We're going to give it a shot. So if Sunday is anything to go on, this could be an interesting conversation, I think.
I thought it was going to be real simple. You know, you look at it, and it's just, you know, a few words. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Okay, we all know what that means. There's no paragraph that explains it any further because it didn't seem like there needed to be any explanation. But when we got into Sunday school, you exposed a lot of things that we didn't realize were rolled into that.
Yeah, there's a lot rolled into this one. So let's read it and then let's kick it around and maybe we'll unroll a piece or two. So this is Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord your God will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. That's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So there it is. Simple, right? Don't misuse the name of the Lord.
What? You know, I thought it was.
But so the first thing we kind of have to do here is we have to get a handle on what exactly God's name is. Because this is an important piece. If you're not going to misuse God's name, you should know which name you're not using. How's that for a sentence?
Well, that's not a good sentence, but I understand what you're trying you're to say.
Right. Yeah, at least makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to talk about God's name, and I didn't say it in Sunday school, and I'm not going to say it now, so that's going to make it complicated for us. There's a very specific name in Hebrew that is God's name. When you pick up a Bible and when you read through it in the Old Testament, anytime you see the word Lord in all caps, that means the Hebrew is using God's specific name, which was given to Moses, and which is used for the very first time in Genesis 2, chapter 4. So it is the Hebrew characters, Yod, Heh, Vav, Heh. If you transliterate those into English, it's YHWH. And if you say it with just saying the letters, it comes out as Yehovah, Jehovah. So that's God's name without saying God's name, Ken.
But does that really matter?
I don't know. But I'll tell you, I like having some stuff that's just sacred.
Yeah, but you got to know what you're talking about and who you're talking about, which is what this was all about.
I know. So I've said it before. I don't like to say it. Do you think it would be better if I just said it?
It may be more straightforward.
Okay, so I will say it and hope that this does not breach commandment number three. So the appropriate way to pronounce God's name is Yahweh. So that's the name we're talking about. But nobody says that, really, except for some really random folks.
But that's not what he said in earlier chapters of Exodus, what his name was.
He said, yeah, that's it. Well, there's other Hebrew renderings of it. What are you thinking of?
The I am.
That is it. That's it. That's the English translation of that name.
Okay.
I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. That's the name.
So yeah, but then he went on to others say, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of this, the God of that.
Yes, that's not. Those are identifying markers. So this is, when he says his name, he says, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. And the reason the word Jehovah exists is so people don't have to say his name but can talk about it, because that's just the letters. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yehovah. That's where Jehovah comes from. It's already a mess, Ken.
Well, and I go back to, you know, the artist formerly known as Prince. Kind of
thing. Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to say Prince, but you got to have something else, this is what we've done.
That's right, because we don't want to say Prince.
Well, apparently he couldn't at that point.
Yeah, there were trademark issues around
it. Yeah. You don't think God has trademark, do you?
It would be really interesting if that's the root of the issue. So anyway, that's the name we're messing around with. If you're not already confused, then maybe we haven't done our job. But I would say that name is a delicate thing to handle. I would say you want to be careful with it. If the third commandment is anything to go by, and also Jewish history and Christian history or anything to go by, be careful with how you handle that thing.
Well, and in the be careful category, you know, when I thought it was super simple, mm-hmm. but don't take the Lord's name in vain, and we always thought the Lord's name was God.
Yeah.
And then we used the GD thing, which mm-hmm. was, you know, that's what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
But if GD's not his name, then is that really an issue?
Yeah, so it's super interesting, because the only time I ever heard this was that you weren't supposed to say, gee, damn it, right? Like, when I was growing up,
yeah,
that was what I wasn't supposed to say. And I'm not trying to say that I'm encouraged to say it now.
Right.
It's not like people are going around saying, oh, Phil, go ahead. But the thing that's super interesting to me is this is not that. So this conversation around Commandment 3 is not really relevant to how we... whether or not we say, gee, damn it.
Well, and I thought that's what it all
I know,
was.
Because that's how I was raised, too. That's the whole thing. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Don't blaspheme the Lord, right?
Right.
Don't say God with a curse word. But this is so much more kind of intricate and complex than that. It's a real reduction of the commandment to land on that as the manifestation of the problem.
You say reduction on something that was so short to begin with.
I know. Well, it's a reduction from something that's quite complicated, as we've already gotten into by how hard it was to explain even what God's name is, especially if you have someone like me who's unwilling
to say it. Yeah.
So you know, it's really complicated. So let's talk about one of the areas in which it's complicated. Let's talk about oaths. There is there's a passage here that I want to take a look at. That's not it. I'm scrolling through here. I'm sorry I didn't have it immediately called up. But so this is Deuteronomy 6:13. The Lord your God you shall fear, and him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. So one major sphere where God's name comes into play is oaths, in the Old Testament in particular. And then, in that, you are only to swear by God's name, by the Lord's name. No other power should be used in an oath. So, like, for a Christian, right, or for a modern person, if you are taking an oath here today in the state of Arkansas and you want to be really faithful to the Ten Commandments, under no circumstances should you swear by your status as a citizen of the state of Arkansas. You should only, if you're going to make an oath, you make an oath in the name of the Lord. So that's a kind of modern application that nobody does or would do. But I'm just trying to make an equivalency of don't swear in this way. But it's a really kind of interesting idea. I thought we had kind of an interesting conversation around oaths on Sunday. I mean, what do you think about the oath thing? So that wasn't part of your calculus when you first heard the commandment. Like, you weren't thinking about oaths.
No, I wasn't thinking about oaths. But, you know, when you go into court and you stand there and put your hand on the Bible
yep.
and take an oath that you're going to tell the truth, hold
yep.
the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God,
uh-huh.
are you really using God's name for that? Or is that you asking for God's help in you to have the courage to tell the truth?
Yeah, you're really saying, I promise by God that I'm not going to lie to you, I think. is and so it's what you described is this. Like, it is an application of the third commandment in the world today, where you say, I promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God.
So it's not misusing God's name.
I don't think so.
Because you're asking him for help, and that's sort of God's job.
Yeah, and you're also, you know, that's consistent with how the commandment was applied in Old Testament times. So we talked about this Sunday, and it's something we don't think of, I think. Like, when the Old Testament was written, when the Ten Commandments existed, there was no legal system, right? There were no laws. There were no lawyers. Like, there was no state, really, outside of the religion. By and large, you were talking about tribal rules and that sort of thing. Nothing like the sophisticated type of legal system we have today. So the only way to have a binding contract in ancient times, I'm going to buy your goats for this many shekels, was to say, I swear in the name of the Lord, I will buy 12 goats. And you say, I swear in the name of the Lord, I will sell you 12 goats. And then we have a contract. The name of the Lord was the seal on the contract, if that makes sense. And it helped to give society a legal structure.
And so if you didn't live up to your end of the bargain, would you have blasphemed
yes,
the Lord's name?
Yes, okay. You would have abused it, because you would have used the Lord's name for your own personal gain.
Okay.
And to exploit your neighbor. Both of those things are bad. and so the commandment, as it relates to oaths, is very much trying to establish a proper way for people to enter into an agreement and an arrangement. Now, the interesting part about this is, for us as Christians, if you fast forward to the Sermon on the Mount and Jesus starts talking about oaths, he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so he seems to take some of the stuffing out of this for Christians. He didn't think of Christians as a thing in that moment, but he was taking some of the stuffing out of it. But it's an interesting way that the idea developed. And one of the reasons that it isn't as prevalent maybe today, but still there in what you said in the courtroom oath.
Yeah, it's still your oath. You're just asking for God's help.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it's an important part of understanding what's happening here in item 3 of the Ten Commandments is you are putting in place a system whereby people can agree on contracts, basically, where their word carries weight. Because just saying, I promise, as Phil Blackburn, does not carry the same weight as, I promise in the name of the Lord, I will do what I say.
Well, that got into something else that we talked about in Sunday school, was name dropping.
Yes! Yes!
You know. So, I mean, in what you were just saying was just sort of like, boom. You
yeah.
Know, you know, my big brother's going to come and get you if you don't do, you know, what I'm telling you in the name of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
I knew a kid in junior high that was that way, that, you know, he had a bigger brother,
mm-hmm.
and he was going around just being obnoxious. And yeah. And if you tried to do any junior high kid stuff that you do to keep uh-huh. each other in line,
yeah.
Well, I'm going to get my big brother after you.
Yeah.
Now, big brother was a nice, was a bodybuilder kind of guy. He was intimidating. Just look at, he was a nice guy.
Uh-huh.
And if he was ever around and he saw his little brother doing that, he didn't fire up and do anything, but the little kid was just always using that as a
yeah.
big threat.
Uh-huh.
And so if we do that with God,
uh-huh.
to use God as a big threat to help us, that's a misuse of God.
Yeah. Well, think about it this way. So in the oath scenario, right, I think what's being set up here is, if I can don't keep my word to you, God will punish me. It's not so much, if you don't keep your word to me, I will have God punish you. You see what I'm saying? By entering into the oath willingly
mm-hmm.
in God's name, you are personally inviting God in as your accountability partner. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I do. But then does that also go back to prayers at football games where you're asking for God to help you win the game?
Well, those aren't oaths, right? But it is an interesting idea.
Okay.
Like, in what scenarios is it okay to invoke God? And what scenarios should you maybe just handle things yourself? Right? Like, a football game, to me, would be an area where you should just handle things yourself, unless there's a serious injury.
Yes, absolutely.
In other parts of life, I think invoking God, specifically calling on the name of the Lord, you know, we hear that in both the Old and the New Testament, like, call on the name of the Lord. Jesus says, whoever asks for anything in my name, it'll be given. You know, so his name carries weight and power, which we can talk about in a minute and is related to this. But specifically in the New Testament, when you're doing that, it is directly related to your ability to do your work as a follower of Jesus, right? You know what I mean? Like, so it's not related to success in the workplace or getting a girl to go out on a date with you or having a financial windfall. Like, in the context of the New Testament, that's not where Jesus encourages us to use the name. It is in places where we are trying to do the work we're supposed to do, and we need help. So this isn't a name thing, but like, if you think of the end of Matthew, where you have the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and remember, I will be with you always to the end of the age, which ties into the nature of that work. You see what I'm saying? That presence is linked to that work. So I do think it's not a deal where if you're sitting there watching Arkansas play Alabama this fall and they fall behind and you say, oh, Lord Jesus, please come and help the Hogs win the game, I feel like you're really straying. I would feel that way. I personally, as a huge football fan and sports fan, do not pray for outcomes.
No, because the other team's doing it too.
They are too. Like, I mean, what theological claim are you making? But I know that that's a thing that happens, you know, where people, you can see it in the crowds in a closed game. How do you see people sitting? Right, their hands are folded together and they're like shaking their hands. You can tell they're going, please, please, please let him make this kick.
Yeah.
And it's like, let me promise you something. God does not care if the Chiefs or the Bills win this game, right? He does not care. So that's where I feel like this name conversation is important, because it is related to our identity. And for Jewish people and Christian people, our identity is, we are, for Christians, we are followers of Jesus. For Jews, they are the people of God. Like, that's your identity.
Well, I guess in the way I look at it, it's a name is a label.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we all know what that label represents, it doesn't matter if it's Yahweh or God or any of the other things that you went through earlier. We all know what it's related to, so don't mess with it.
Yes.
Don't demean it. Don't.
Yeah.
It's just a label.
Yeah, handle it delicately. You know, just be delicate with it.
Yeah.
Like, in the same way that I would assume people are delicate with the names of people that they love. You know?
Yeah.
You know, my wife's name is Tasha, and I don't throw her name around in ways that are unflattering to her. I love her, and I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I view it as disrespectful.
Right.
So why would you do that?
To God. Yeah.
And use God's name as a tool to get yourself more business or invoke God's name because you want something that has nothing to do with your faith, or any number of things that you could do to play around, you know, yell God's name when you're angry. Like, I mean, we talked about this on Sunday, like yelling out JC when you're angry. Like, Jesus Christ is the name of our Savior. It is not something that we yell when we're angry.
It's not supposed to be.
Not supposed to be. So that's, again, holding that name with some reverence and whatever some dignity. Whatever it is, as you live it out. And I think that's a good way, Ken, that you've brought up to apply this commandment today. Like, we don't use Jehovah for God in our church. You know, we talk about God, we talk about Jesus. So how we handle those things, you know, and you're bringing me around because I said on Sunday I didn't view G-dammit as blasphemous, but now you're bringing me around, Ken, that if that is your common parlance for God, if that's the name you utilize, then you should probably handle it with some delicacy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot more to be said about God's name. I'm going to, and I did this last time, I'll put the PowerPoint on the website. So if you go to the education page on at onepres.org, you can see the PowerPoint and read through some of the slides that we aren't going to get to in our conversation because I feel like some of that stuff we talked about Sunday doesn't translate as well to a non-visual, non-conversational setting.
I agree.
But some of the things related to the temple in Jerusalem, which isn't here anymore but was here for a very long time, that was the dwelling place of God's name. For Jewish people, that's where God's name lived. God's name equated to God's presence. So some of that stuff is also out there. It's interesting. I think the way Jewish people looked at the temple has influenced how Christians look at sanctuaries today. I think that's still in our DNA to hold kind of a reverence or awe for places of worship that is different than we would hold for other parts of a facility.
Kind of goes back to the idol thing, though.
It certainly can. You can go either way, because, like, to be kind, you can say that we still have it in our identity that this is the house of God, this mm-hmm. sanctuary, and so you don't mess with it. But you can also say we do turn it into an idol. Like, when the purpose of the church becomes the building should never be the mission of the church. So when we say that, that should help us to stay away from the idolatry piece, although it doesn't always, Ken. But it should. It should help us to some degree.
Right.
So, anyway, any final thoughts about commandment number 3?
No, just that it was bigger than it looked.
That's right. Bigger than it looked. Like a whale.
No, whales look pretty big.
That's right. They do. All right, guys, so we'll wrap up for today. I believe Tasha will be your companion this time for sure, Ken, next week. So,
okay.
Anyway, had a great conversation. Ken, have a lovely week.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Ten Commandments on the One Pres Pod. You can find all sorts of Presbyterian-related content here at this podcast. Be sure to like and review it if you are enjoying it. And check out onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.